Da-na-da-da-na. Good evening. Welcome to Bedtime Stories. We are reading A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. This is Chapter 1, The Mysterious Message. It was the year 1775, and both France and England were on the brink of revolution. King George III of England was too busy handling his country's problems with the American colonies to worry about his own people's poverty. King Louis XVI of France and the noblemen of his court were more concerned with their own pleasures and wealth to worry about the poor, hungry lower classes who had begun to make plans to overthrow their rulers. So it was that London and Paris, the capitals of the two countries, were uneasy as their revolutions drew near. There was much crime in England during this period. Thus, it was not surprising that the passengers in the mail coach traveling out of London one Friday night late in November feared for their safety when the sound of a galloping horse came from behind the coach. The guard cocked his pistol. "Stop or I shall fire," he shouted. The rider slowed down and stopped. "I must speak to one of the passengers heading for Dover," he called out. "Mr. Jarvis Lorry." The guard turned to the passengers. "Which one of you is Mr. Lorry?" he asked. "Here I am," replied a trembling gentleman of about 60. "Who wants me?"
"It's Jerry Cruncher," answered the rider. "I have a message from Tellson's."
"It's okay," Mr. Lorry told the guard. "I know this messenger. I work for Tellson's Bank in London, and so does he."
Mr. Lorry took the paper the rider handed into the coach. He unfolded it and read to himself,
"Wait at Dover for Mamselle."
Then he turned to the rider.
"Jerry, you can say that my answer is recalled to life."
"That's a mighty strange answer," muttered the messenger as he climbed back onto his horse.
Mr. Lorry, meanwhile, began to doze, as did the other passengers, but his sleep was not a restful one, for his dreams were filled with scenes of him digging a man out of a grave. Over and over, Jarvis Lorry asked the ghost,
"How long have you been buried?"
"Almost 18 years, was the ghost's repeated reply.
"Do you know that you are being recalled to life?"
"They tell me so."
When these conversations became loud enough to waken the other passengers, they nudged Mr. Lorry awake. It was during one of these waking moments in the black of night that Mr. Lorry saw the other two passengers leave the coach and walk off down the road. By mid-morning, the mail coach arrived in Dover, the departure point for boats crossing the English Channel to Calais, France. Mr. Lorry arranged for a room at the Royal George Inn in Dover, since the boat would not be leaving until the following afternoon. Then he told the innkeeper,
"Please prepare another room for a young lady who will arrive today. She will ask for Mr. Lorry of Tellson's Bank."
"You gentlemen from Tellson's do quite a bit of traveling, don't you?" commented the innkeeper.
"Yes, we have offices in both England and France," explained Mr. Lorry. "But I have not done any traveling in 15 years.
It was that evening, as Jarvis Lorry was finishing his dinner, that a waiter informed him that a Miss Manette had arrived. Leaving his dessert unfinished, Mr. Lorry hurried upstairs. Entering Lucy Manette's sitting room, he saw a young lady of no more than 17. She was a short, slim, pretty girl with long golden hair and deep-set blue eyes that met Mr. Lorry's with a questioning look. That look made him recall a child whom he had held in his arms during a passage across the English Channel from France to England 15 years before. He knew that she had been that child, but Lucy Manette, of course, did not recognize him.
"I'm pleased to meet you, Miss Manette," said Mr. Lorry, making a formal bow.
The young lady motioned Mr. Lorry to a chair and got right down to business.
"I received a letter yesterday from Tellson's Bank, sir, informing me about a discovery regarding some property of my poor father, who has been dead for so long. The property, I believe, is in France." Her voice trailed off and she wiped away a tear, then struggled to continue. "The letter said I was to go to Paris to meet with a gentleman the bank was sending there."
"That gentleman is myself."
Since the gentleman had already left London, a messenger was sent after him to ask him to please wait for me here in Dover.
The bank also told me that the gentleman would give me all the details of the property, some of which would be rather surprising. Naturally, I am eager to know what they are.
Naturally, agreed Mr. Lorry as he adjusted his wig nervously.
Finally, he looked directly at the young lady and began his story.
I will tell you first about one of our bank's customers, a French gentleman of great talents, a scientist, a doctor whom I had the pleasure of serving at Tellson's Bank in Paris at the time of his marriage to an English lady about 20 years ago.
Then, sir, what you are telling me is my own father's story. She stopped, her forehead wrinkled in bewilderment. Then a faint smile crossed her face as she went on. It is a story you know because it was you who brought me to England when my mother died just 2 years after my father's death.
Mr. Lorry took Lucy's hand and brought it gently to his lips.
Yes, child, it was I, he said.
I had a close business relationship with your father,
and although I usually keep all personal feelings out of my business...
Mr. Lorry nervously adjusted his wig again, sighed, then returned to his story.
Yes, this is your father's story. Now, here is the difference. If he had not died when he died, but had rather disappeared silently and suddenly, sent away to a terrible place by a powerful enemy who could sign some papers imprisoning him for as long as the enemy wished...
Lucy gasped and grabbed Mr. Lorry's arm.
If the gentleman's wife had begged the king for news of him and had never received a reply... And furthermore, if the wife had suffered so much from his disappearance before the birth of her daughter...
Yes, yes, what then? Begged Lucy.
If the mother's suffering was so great that she decided to raise the child to believe the father was dead...
Lucy Manette jumped up from her chair and threw herself onto the floor at Mr. Lorry's feet.
I beg you, sir, tell me everything, she cried, gripping his wrists.
Please control yourself, Miss Manette.
And gently lifting her from the floor, Mr. Lorry went on.
Although your mother never stopped searching for your father, she died broken-hearted when you were only 2 years old. Your parents had no great wealth, but we have found no new money or property, but...
But what? Gasped Lucy, tightening her grip on his wrists.
Mr. Lorry took a deep breath.
Your father has been found. Alexander Manette is alive, but he has changed so much that no one would recognize him. He has been freed from that French prison and taken to the house of a faithful servant in Paris. We are going there tomorrow. I to identify him if I can, you to comfort him and restore him to health.